For those of you who don't know me, is that I'm a gardener. That's what I do for a job. So there's going to be quite a lot of gardening stuff going on in the next half an hour. We're going to be looking at a passage in John where Jesus says, I am a vine and you're the branches. But first of all, I'd like to just put that a little bit into context. Obviously, Jesus lived a long time ago, so what were vines all about then? So Flo, if we could have the next slide, that would be great. So back in Jesus' time, vineyards were really, really common in the area where he was living, and lots of people would have worked in the vineyards, so it was something that was really familiar. And as many of us know, Jesus often used things that were familiar, things that were everyday, to explain the truths of God's kingdom to people. I'd like to mention that grapes that fruited well were a really good thing. And grapes didn't have much use other than their fruit. They were grown just for the fruit. That's what you needed a grape for. And throughout the Old Testament, Israel, that's God's chosen people, were often referred to as a vine. So people would have been used to hearing about a vine being God's people. It wouldn't have been unusual. And it says in Hosea that Israel was a luxuriant vine that yielded its fruit. And if you want to have a look at Psalm 80, pretty much the whole of Psalm 80 is talking about God's people as a vine. So vines come up a lot through the Old Testament. Unfortunately, vines in the Old Testament were also used to describe then how God's people also turned away from God. So initially being very fruitful, but then turning away from God. So basically, when Jesus decided to speak to people about a vine, it was going to be really familiar, and they were going to be used to that symbolic meaning of a vine. Whereas for us, it might seem a little bit alien. If we can have the third slide. So it's a really familiar passage, and I'd like us just to listen to God's word together. So Jesus said this. It's thought it was directly after the Last Supper. So Jesus, directly after the Last Supper, wasn't going to be wasting his words, was he? He was going to be saying pretty important things, knowing it was his last few hours with his disciples. And he said, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. And then Jesus continued to say nearly the same again, wanted to really labour his point. He goes on to say, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away, like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. So we're going to explore that passage a little and see what it means to us. So, gardeners. What do we know about gardeners? Well, I reckon this afternoon, if you went down to Carnon Downs Garden Centre, there would be a lot of gardeners there spending a lot of money and spending a lot of time choosing some plants to put in their garden, because gardeners are keen on their plants. They choose their plants really, really carefully. They're going to choose the best plant for their garden. They're going to choose the one that fruits the best, flowers the best. And then when they get it home, after they spent lots of money on it, they're going to find the best place for that plant. I met somebody just this week who so wanted this particular plant that she actually bought the same plant 8 times until she found the right place to plant it. So she found the right location. And once they've planted it, they're going to care for it. They're going to feed it. They're going to nurture it. Sometimes they even go and talk to them. Basically, they cherish their plants. So God's been described as a gardener. So what does this tell us? Well, it tells us that God chose us. It says in Jeremiah that I planted you as a choice vine from the purest of stock. That's you he's talking about. He positions us in the best place. You are the only person in your place on this planet. God put you there. God cares for us. He invests in us. He gives to us. He cherishes us. He wants us to succeed. He provides for all of our needs. So the analogy of God being a gardener is a great one. Thinking about the way he loves and cares for us. And it goes on to talk about Jesus Christ being the vine. So the vine, well, what does the vine do? Well, it gets water out of the ground. It gets nutrients. It makes energy. And then it supplies these things to all parts of the plant. Jesus does that. And he supplies to us the nutrition, the energy that we need through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us to give us power. And I think of that in a way, the context of the plant, as being everything that it needs, the sustenance that the plant needs to survive, to live in this world, to flourish. But quite a lot of the vine is unseen. So underground, where all the roots are. And obviously Jesus isn't now living and walking on this planet with us as he once was. He's in heaven. So for many people, he is unseen. But we know that we can show Jesus through our lives and how we act and live in this world. And the vine has got a strong stem there. And that strong stem is holding up all of the branches and everything that's above. And that's what Christ is doing. He's supporting us. And Christ intercedes for us to God. On our behalf, Christ is there. So Christ supports us, strengthens us. Although he's often hidden, he's there as our support. And where are we? Well, clearly from this passage, we know that we are the branches. So the branches are part of that vine. They're at the top. They're coming off of the vine. But who owns the branches? Well, the gardeners at Carnon Downs own the plant once they've got them. God owns the vine. We belong to God if we're part of this vine. But think about it. That vine, that belongs to God, regardless of whether we are a branch on that vine or not. We make a choice whether we want to be a branch on that vine, but God will own the vine. So three types of branches. I was really pleased about this. There are three, because everybody always talks about threes, don't they, for sermons. There were three types of branches mentioned. So let's have a look at the first branch. Thanks, Flo. Oh, the first type of branch. Well, these are branches, or people, that choose to separate themselves from the vine. They've made that choice. Christ wants us to stay in him. He asks us. You read that passage again. He virtually pleads with us to stay in him. But the choice is ours. For people that believe that they've got no need for Christ, trying to do everything in their own strength, they, in the end, will receive no strength or benefit from Christ because they have chosen to separate themselves from him. But there's a promise as well in the passage we read in verse 4. Remain in Christ, and he promises that he will always remain in us. So we can see that these branches, they're not getting any sustenance. They're not getting any water or nutrition or strength from Christ. And so they wither. Are they going to produce any fruit? Never in a million years. And these branches are never going to give the gardener, never going to give God any pleasure. When we turn away from Christ, all of our gifts that he could give us are going to wither. Our zeal for him is going to wither. Gifts that he gives us are going to disappear. And the comfort that we receive from being part of his family disappears too. And so what happens to these branches? Well, in a vineyard, they are just gathered up by men. They have no use whatsoever, and they are burned up. That's it. So interestingly, these branches, these people that separate themselves from God, it's very easy to be gathered up by Satan. And you can see the link there with them being burned up in hell. Easy for Satan to gather up the people that aren't with Christ. For a branch to produce fruit, it obviously has to be attached to the vine. Yet we do talk about two other branches in this passage. One, so we talk about branches that are on the vine but fruitless, and the branches that are on the vine but still producing good fruit. Let's think about, first of all, what are we talking about by fruit? What does it mean? Thanks, Flo. Should have actually tested you on this. I shouldn't have put the slide up. So there's lots of fruit that we show being part of God's people. But in particular, we often think about the fruit of the Spirit. And there they are: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, who wouldn't want these things in their life? These things come through the Spirit of God into our lives, and the more like Jesus we become, the more we have the fruit of the Spirit. And thinking back to working with the children, so many of these are really valuable when you're working with children. Other fruit that we're talking about, having a life which represents Christ, being really prayerful in our lives, being good disciples, having the right Christian attitude. So when we're meeting people that don't know Christ, we represent Christ in everything about who we are. Of course, those tie in with the fruits of the Spirit. The more we have the fruits of the Spirit, the more we are showcasing and representing Christ in our everyday lives. And then there's another type of fruit that Jesus talks of, particularly in the very last parts of his time with us. And that is when Christ talks about the Great Commission to go out into the nations and make disciples, bring people into his kingdom, share what you know about being in the family of God with others, and bring others so they can experience the joy and the love of Christ. So sharing the gospel to listening ears and bringing other people to Christ, it's the most wonderful thing, and it brings you amazing joy. But as well as bringing amazing joy to you and sharing that with the other people in the church, it brings great glory to God. Now, even if you don't even bring people knowingly to Christ, by sharing God in your lives, you bring great glory to God. So I look at those things and I think, God, yeah, I could do with a bit of those. I won't tell you which ones in particular. But yeah, these are things that we want. We want to have these in our lives. We want to be fruiting well. So how do we go about it? Well, maybe that's the tough bit. So these fruit develop by spending time with Christ. We can't have the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit of God living in us, without spending time with Christ in his presence. So what does that mean? Well, it means habitually, regularly reading this, not just on a Sunday, finding time to fit it in the morning, in the afternoon, the evening, even the middle of the night for some people, but finding a time to fit in reading his word, and then praying and meditating, finding out what he's saying to you. And once you've heard from him, it's not just hearing it, is it? It's actually doing something about it, trying to let what he's speaking to you and what he's talking to you about change your life, change the way that you approach situations. So it's looking to him for support, looking to him for comfort when you need it, but all through the day, all through your life. So the word that we often come across in the Bible is abiding. It's a great word, abiding in him. He wants us to abide in him, to live in him. And then he is able to abide, to live in us as well. In Colossians it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I love that word, richly. It's not a sort of thin, nondescript thing. this word dwelling in you richly, and this pleases God. So people that are constant and steady in their faith, loving Christ, living on his promises every day, the Spirit's going to bring forth fruit in their lives. And inevitably, people that have these fruit in their lives, they permeate into their relationships with other people. People see these fruit in their lives. I am looking around now and I can see people in this room that I know just emanate love, joy, peace. And that's what God wants us to be like, and what a wonderful thing to have. When we live in Christ, when we abide in Christ, it also says in that passage that we read just a few minutes ago that we have the freedom and the privilege to ask of God anything we want. Wow. This is the God who placed the stars in the skies. It's the God that knows how many specks of sand there are on every beach in Cornwall and every other beach on the planet. Wow. That's quite impressive. But of course, as we become more like Christ, our will and what we want, the things we're going to ask for, are actually going to become more aligned to what Christ wants anyway. So the more we want and desire the fruit of his Spirit in our lives, the more we will desire the things that he wants. One of the songs earlier was talking about having a heart for the things that God has a heart for. The more like God we become, the more we have a heart for the things that he has. And then the selfish desires will fade away. We could have the next slide. So, thinking about branches now on the vine that don't produce any fruit, don't have all those wonderful things that we were just thinking about. It says quite bluntly in that passage that branches that produce no fruit will be cut off from the vine. So these branches, they're taking all the nutrition, they're taking all the water, they're taking the strength and the sustenance from the vine, but they're not producing any fruit. They're enjoying the benefits of being part of the vine, but they're not contributing. Freeloaders, that's what I'd call them. People that are enjoying the benefits of a church community, but not contributing to being part of that church. Branches may make a good outward show at being part of the vine, but in actual fact, their attachment to the vine is weak. Now, from a horticultural point of view, a weak branch attachment, a weak union as it's called, is a place where diseases often get into plants. It's not a good thing. And those branches, which have a weak union with the vine, those are places where disease is likely to get in and the branch is going to drop away. And when the branch is dropped away, it's not branch type number two, it goes back being the first branch, the withered branch, never to produce fruit. And so the fruitless branches are cut off. And what can the branches be used for? Again, not a lot. You can't use them for making beautiful furniture, for turning them. You can't even make pencils from them. They're only good for burning. But remember, Christ promises that if we live in him, he will live in us. So if we're living in Christ, our branch won't be cut off. Now, I have a challenge with this type of branch because I know that God loves all of us. And God will continue to love us whatever. So when it tells me that a branch is being cut off, I struggle with that a little bit. So I might be able to talk to some of you about that afterwards. But what it's saying is clear that that's not the way that God desires us to live. Lastly, the third type of branch is the branch that produces fruit. Now, they're doing great, these branches, producing lots of fruit, and yet the gardener is pruning them. So I was having to think, well, why would you prune something when it's doing great? Well, gardeners do a lot of pruning, a lot of pruning. And they do it for all sorts of reasons. They prune to encourage the plant to actually produce more flowers and then fruit. They do it to control wayward growth, often odd directions, to ensure that a plant is well balanced, well formed. and to ensure that there's no disease or pests damaging the plant. And good pruning, horticulturally speaking, is the work of a skilled gardener. It's actually how you can tell the difference between people who know what they're doing and people who don't. And a caring gardener will prune well and know when to prune. So a caring gardener will prune at the right time. A caring gardener will use the right tools. They won't damage the plant in the process, and they will ensure that the plant still has enough sustenance for the following year, pruning using the right techniques. So that's just a gardener here. So we think about God as the gardener, and we realise that all of those things are just the same. God prunes us to prune out areas of where we're heading off in one random direction, wayward growth. He prunes us to encourage better fruiting the following year, to ensure that we remain a balanced person and that we don't get affected by disease or illness. God also prunes at the right time. And sometimes that time might not be the time when we want it to happen, but it's when God knows it's the right time. And so what do I mean by pruning? Well, maybe God's closing doors of opportunity for you. Maybe there's something that you really desire to go off in one direction, and God very clearly has shut those doors. Or maybe there's something you're expecting and it's being delayed and delayed. Maybe God there is teaching you patience. Or maybe he's doing something to help teach you self-control. It doesn't feel great, does it? I think pruning or being pruned can feel pretty tough. And I was thinking about, and I don't think they'll mind me mentioning it, that Neil and Jane now, they're in London right now today, about to head off. So they've had a really tough time recently, and we've really been blessed by having them with us. But surely God has, I imagine, taught them even more patience than they already had through the process of having to wait on him. I think about the guys over at St. Austell, where Matt is, I believe, this morning, and they've had to learn how to really appreciate each other and trust on each other and to be a real strong family together. So what I want you just to do for a moment is just think about, in your lives, what ways has God pruned you? What things have been happening to you in the last year or longer? And why has God been pruning you in that way? Where's he trying to lead you? Where's he trying to push you, maybe? I'm going to show us just a very short little video, because I want you to think about how much pruning God needs to do. So it says in the passage about God pruning the branches so they fruit. So is that a little bit or a lot? Thanks, Flo. Wow. So God prunes us. I think Christ chose the vine on purpose. Did you see how much pruning happens to the vine? And that pruning is done to make sure that those vines fruit well next year. And I know they do because I do it every year. Have a think about your life. How God's been working in it. How much pruning he might need to be doing. But the result of that is a fruitful plant, a fruitful branch. You growing closer to God, growing closer to Christ, and being able to share what you know about Christ to people around you. Just want you to ponder on how you respond to the pruning. And just to think about Job. So Job, you could say he had a pretty serious pruning. He lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost his family. But Job's response, he responded by worshipping God. Not despite of the circumstances, because of the circumstances, he worshipped God. And he continued to trust God's loving character. Job knew and he trusted that God would do what was best for him in the end. In the midst of what Job was going through, how could he have known where it was going to end? But he trusted God all the way. So I think when we're going through a tough situation, just to look at Job's life and see what tough meant for somebody else, see what God did in Job's life, and then to read right to the end. Job recognized that God was refining him, teaching him, and that he would bring him through all these difficulties. So we've looked at three types of branches. I've brought with me some branches, some vine branches. And after the service, there's loads of them here. Feel free to come and get one. And you can just take it home. And hopefully it will just remind you about the different types of branches that there are. Because what I want you to do is think about which branch you are and which branch you would really like to be. But there might be some of you here who can never actually remember being a branch on the vine at all. There might be people here that you don't feel like you've purposefully separated yourself from Christ, but you're thinking, I've never been part of that vine. I've never been there. And that, how can I be part of the vine? I've never been part of it to begin with. Maybe you've got some Christian friends or family, or maybe even complete strangers who have told you about what it's like being part of a family of God, being part of that vine. And I hope that you will have seen the joy that comes from being part of that vine, being part of the family of Christ. So if you're not part of the vine, you're not part of Christ, but you want to be, well, it tells us in Romans 10:13 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Flo, if we can have a look at the next slide. This is where the sermon third thing fell apart, because I just want to bring in another type of branch. Gardeners can graft branches into a vine. So if you feel that you're not part of that vine, but you want to be, you can be grafted into it. So a new part of a plant is added in. And I tell you what, those that are added in by grafting often are the most fruitful branches that there are on a vine. So if you are one of those people, come talk to us, come talk to Hannah, talk to Jem, talk to myself after the service. Thank you, Flo. So thinking right back to what we said at the beginning, that God's people, Israel, they had been referred to as a vine, yeah? But they became unfaithful, and as we know, then they incurred the wrath of God. But Jesus remained faithful to God his entire life and is now sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. And so Jesus is the true vine of God. He remains true to God and sits there with God. He is the one true vine, because there is only one true vine. That vine has got many branches, many, many branches. And those branches, those people who are part of that vine, go off in all sorts of different directions. We all have different skills, different callings, different giftings, but we're all part of that one vine. And Christ supports each of us equally, but it's not sufficient for us individually to act alone. We're all part of that one vine. We're all members of that family together. And as such, we need to support one another and work together. Because apart from Christ, separate from Christ, the church is simply a pile of dead twigs. And so lastly, I want us to read the passage again and just think about what it means to us and who we are and what type of branch we are. Jesus said, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch, and withers. And such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Amen.